everybody, and welcome to the DeathDoorProds.com podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by ThinkGeek, who just posted a new item, the inflatable Portal 2 Sentry Gun, for $24.99, so that's fucking awesome. Click a link at the bottom of the page, go pick yourself up one of those, and some other stupid, nerdy bullshit. ThinkGeek, stuff for the smart masses. Or if you want to buy some shirts that are not for the smart masses or for the smart anyone, go to deathdoorprods.com/store. We have shirts, we have hoodies, including our new zip-up hoodie. We still have our Irish shirt, I think.
Yeah, it'll be up for a while.
Yes, we have our Irish shirt up. And so yeah, deathdoorprods.com/store. Get some stuff, support the site. Or if you just want to give us money, go to deathdoorprods.com/Indiegogo. That is I-N-D-I-E-Gogo. And donate some money. Help us. We're trying to use this money to get better stuff, better equipment, to make more content, better content, and help us make the site a better place to visit. So, yeah, or if you don't want to donate, just spread the word. Like, share us on Facebook, share us on Twitter, share us on Google Plus if you use that for some ungodly reason. But yeah, just any way you can, just spread the word. Help us bring in more people. As always, I'm your host, The Dead Man. Join me today. We have Bovion.
Hello.
And a very sick Shax.
I'm sick.
So, Bo, what have you been reading?
All right. I've read a ton of one issue. I honestly, I meant to read more, and I thought I downloaded more, but then when I went to these other things I downloaded today to read them...
You mean bought legally.
Downloaded legally. They didn't work,
yes,
so
copies.
I have to, I don't know, email the company or something to get versions that do work. And if you're wondering what I was doing all of last week, I was video editing. Leave me alone. But anyway, so I read Venom issue 2.
Ah, yes, Venom. What did you think of it?
I liked it. It was great. He was fighting Kraven the Hunter.
Ah, yes, Kraven.
Symbiote got torn off by giant bats.
Yeah, so for people out there, including myself, who may not remember this issue, give a rundown.
Okay, so we opened with Flash on an island, fighting Kraven as Venom. And it's not going so well. He's got, like, spear stabbed into him. He's got all sorts of darts in his back. He's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, and I think this is zombie crazy Kraven.
Yes. Absolutely. He's gone apeshit. he's off his head. I'm missing some terms for crazy, but I'll move on. So he's writing from Crazy Kraven, and basically he doesn't want Venom to take over. He's been in the suit way too long already. So he decides to just hide in this cave, wait for Kraven to pass, and then complete his mission. But Kraven finds him in the cave, and then a bunch of giant bats start screeching, which, if you know anything about symbiotes, you know they hate sonic waves.
Ah, yes.
And so the sonar of the bats makes the symbiote tear off of Flash, and then he's sitting there screwed with Kraven about to try and kill him, only Kraven gets grabbed by a giant bat. But then so does Flash. But then Flash manages to get away from the bat. And we see the symbiote come back to him, rejoin him, and be like, we need to finish the mission.
Yeah, that's the kind of cool thing that's been going on with the Flash thing, of like, Flash and the symbiote actually having a relationship and not just the symbiote trying to take over.
Yeah, like, there's still some of, you know, Venom trying to take over at this point. But yeah, I think Venom's starting to like Flash.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, gonna get into some of it later, but yeah, they're starting to form an actual bond.
Which is a really cool concept.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, because, like, Venom hasn't done this ever before. Really, but now, with Flash, it seems to be going for it.
I wonder why.
Probably the drugs.
You guys are making it sound as if Venom is its own... I mean, I know it's a live organism, but talk talking about that Venom is liking Flash.
Yeah, because like the reason that Venom kept going after Peter Parker was because the Venom symbiote wanted to go back to Parker.
Hmm.
Yeah, like the symbiote, it actually is sentient. It has its own emotions. It has its own wants and needs and shit.
Okay.
I
never knew that.
Yeah, just most of the time it like ends up like controlling somebody and like turning into we. It's like a hive mind kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, so it's cool. Like the symbiote is actually one of the more interesting character development, one of the more interesting characters that's been introduced into the Spider-Man world. And it is awesome. So yeah, anything else you want to say about Venom?
I still like the new suit design.
Yeah, it's a great design. It's very army.
Yeah, which is, it's just another way of showing, like, how much Flash, the Venom symbiote is different with Flash. Although, I guess, if he goes crazy, he turns full on Venom, but...
But still, he's been able to fight it back. Like he has gone full on Venom a couple times, but there's been other times where just, like, the face just goes full on Venom, but the suit actually stays in its armored kind of form.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all very cool.
Okay, cool. So, Shax, what have you been reading?
Let me look at what number it is, because I can't, The Walking Dead number 8.
Okay.
So I've decided to make my own conspiracy theory that Laurie set up for Carl to kill Shane.
Oh, you think she just kind of went like, oh, go out into the woods and find your daddy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
I think she set the whole thing up. Cause she knew she was pregnant. She knew there was a good chance it was going to be Shane's baby. She needed Shane out of the picture.
Oh, he's Shane's baby.
So she was leading Shane on. Of course, we didn't see this part of it. This is like behind the comic book scenes, if you will.
It was in subtext. Between the pants.
To the point where Shane was went nuts from it. She knew sooner or later that he would try something. Mm. And just, yeah, basically... set Carl to kill Shane to get him out of the picture.
Yeah, I've been for a while now. I've been trying to defend Laurie when we've been talking, like when we've been bitching about how Laurie sucks so much. And I've started to come around, and I think she may be the worst person to ever exist in that universe.
And
even worse than the governor.
That's ooh. The show. And the comic.
Yeah, she is, oh god, I know I've been saying so much about, like, so many trying to defend her, it's like, oh, well, this happened. No, she's just fucking insane.
Well, at least in this comic, she was fine.
She is Lady Macbeth, whispering sweet nothings into her husband and lover's ear to try to get them to kill each other.
Oh, yeah. I like sure. That comparison.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it I can see as a possibility, like, for the most part, I'm just fucking around, but, like, I can see as a possibility that she had this elaborate plan to have Shane snuffed out. And maybe it was, like, she didn't even want Carl to do it, per se, but, yeah, maybe that she wanted it done and was hoping it'd be Rick to do it, but it happened to be Carl instead, but, you know, whatever. I mean, she was able to get rid of one of them.
Maybe she sent Carl out into the woods and just, like, was, like, having, like, an over-under on who he would shoot. It was like whether his aim was shit or not.
He's,
like, trying, like, a social experiment of, like, all right, honey, why don't you go in the woods and get your daddy? And it just goes out there and just, like, starts, like, running the numbers on whether or not, starts, like, having, like, bets within her own mind of whether or not Carl will hit Rick or Shane.
Well, I think in that case, she was probably almost 50-50 on who she wanted to come out alive. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't care which one. They're both good fucks, maybe. But there's, like, a slight edge to Rick, being that there is a history there. It is her husband, and it is the father of her son. So sending Carl out there, she probably knew that it was going to up the odds of Shane dying over Rick.
Yeah, but Shane is crazy, and isn't there something about crazy people being awesome in bed?
I don't know anything about that.
You know what? Rick's crazy. They're all fucking crazy.
Yeah, but he didn't start crazy. Shane's been crazy from the get-go.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Rick, as he descends into his insanity, would get better as well.
Well, as it stands right now, Rick is completely not crazy. He's cool as a cucumber.
Just wait.
Yes, he will slowly descend into madness.
Until, yeah, they, what's that?
Until eventually you're not sure if you're rooting for the right person anymore.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Like, Rick starts getting kind of a dick later on.
It's how do I want to say this? I like that. I like when in any kind of media, whether it's, you know, movies, games, whatever, that you get to a point where the person that you are rooting for, the movie Awake does a really good job with this. It's the person that you feel is the guy that's right starts doing things that make you feel like it's not the right thing to do, and it kind of makes you as a person feel bad. Like, I was kind of rooting for this guy, and he turns out to be the bad guy, or he turns out that he's starting to become insane, or whatever.
So you like it when the protagonist becomes not a hero?
Yeah, I think it puts a good spin on the story a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just kind of, I guess it's like the ultimate way to fool the viewer or the reader in this case, because like you could trick someone that's watching something or reading something, you know, and just do it in the normal way. But if you just are kind of like over a long period of time, just building a character up, and the more you build that character up, the more the reader is going to believe in that person and believe that person is right and be like, oh, this person is a great person. If I was in that situation with that person, I would be following that person. And then all of a sudden they start doing things that are questionable or crazy or insane or just all out wrong. You start feeling dirty for it, I guess.
Yeah, they start getting more into that in the show. Like after in the season finale, they started like showing Rick slipping a bit. But we'll get more into that on Friday. But yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. There's only a couple of the real things. They found a new place to stay for now. It looks like a gated community of some sort.
The community.
Yeah. There's a couple of zombies that they found, but they took care of them quickly. Two things here. One, I don't know who said it, but they're talking about burning the bodies the next day. I think it was Rick, but I'm not sure. And he mentions that we will burn them in the morning so we can save matches, which I don't understand how the next day of burning a body saves matches.
Maybe because at night there's mist, like mildew, and it might, like, dew, and it might, like, snuff out the fire before they're all finished burning.
That's a possibility, I guess. You know, I'm sure. On the other hand, who's using matches to burn bodies?
No,
I would think you'd need a torch or something.
Like, get a pile of them.
You have to start your flame somewhere. And the reason that waiting until the day will do that is, they're going to use a magnifying glass in the sun to start the fire.
Right on.
That saves on matches.
Makes sense, yeah. Instead of burning ants, they burn zombies.
Right. I just found that kind of funny when I read that. I was just like, what's the difference? But whatever. That's cool. But the one thing that I did find kind of irritating is he was like, let's all go to bed. And then what we're going to do is we're going to sleep upstairs, and we're all restless enough that if we hear anything, we probably will wake up. And it's like, how about you just have someone stay watch all night? Maybe that's a good idea, instead of just assuming that everyone's restless enough, because even if everyone's restless enough and we'll maybe hear something if it, you know, there's a zombie or two coming around, it might not be until two or three people have been bitten into.
Yeah. It's like, we haven't slept in like a week, but you know, we're restless enough, we'll wake up.
Yeah, it's kind of like, just have one person, because the way they made it sound, to me at least, was there's two bedrooms and the bathroom. And, they're like, you know, what's the Asian kid?
Glenn.
Goddamn. Glenn, Carl, and Dale are all 80-year-old men's names. and it throws me off for them all the time. But, Glenn was like, well, I'll sleep in the bathroom. And then everyone else was like, well, I'll sleep here or whatever. And it's just like, just have one person stay awake and sit outside in the hallway or something. Yeah. Just, you know, to have two people awake, you know, to keep each other company, but, you know, I don't know. It's just like, counting on someone waking up if you hear a noise just sounds a little, I don't know.
Sounds a little bullshit.
Well, especially yeah. If you look at it the way the show is, where the zombies are perfectly silent.
Yeah, like, if these things were like the Dawn of the Dead remake zombies, where, like, they see someone, they're just like, and just start running at them, then I can understand. But this one is just like, as the loudest noise they make, I'm guessing.
Oh, sorry, I had to sneeze. yeah, so those are like the only two things that I kind of like raised my eyebrow about. And then Andrea and Dale
whole
fuck
guy.
Each other?
Yes, that.
Like, is it Andrea like a hot blonde?
Kind of, but she's also crazy.
And she's into like 60-year-old men, I guess.
No, well, she's just into Dale.
Yep, just Dale. Because they've been living together since the outbreak.
It's like
in his trailer.
It's like Yanto from Torchwood. He's not gay, he just loves Jack.
For those of you who get that reference.
I'm not one of them, but I think I got the gist of it. Or in this case, the jizz of it.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I know. What am I doing? I'm sick.
Not cool, dude. Not cool.
I'm sick. I wasn't thinking straight. That's really it for that comic. There was nothing really happened. At the very end, the lady that walks in on Dale and Andrea, I keep wanting to call her Andrea, she's talking to the black dude that they find in the last comic in Seven.
Yeah.
And the way the drawings look suggests that she's kind of into him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because, just the way she's kind of like... Just the way she looks in the drawings, like you read the text and it seems pretty normal, but you look at the drawing and she kind of has I'm fucking you with my eyeballs kind of look to her.
Yeah, that's Carol, right?
Yes, that is Carol.
Okay.
Is Carol and her husband? Her husband is the dude that Shane beats the shit out of, right?
Yes.
In the TV show.
Yes.
So. They're totally different people in the TV show compared to the comic books, right?
Completely, I think. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure that Carol's husband didn't beat her.
Yeah, I have yet to see anyone raise a fist to one another, other than Carl killing Shane.
Which wasn't so much raising a fist as it was raising some bullets.
Yeah, raising bullets from his gun to his neck.
Yeah.
I think
in the comics it's more implied that she was in an abusive relationship. If I remember correctly, it's been a while since I've read that section of it.
Maybe I haven't gotten to it yet then. Maybe it hasn't been implied yet. Or it has and I either missed it or I've forgotten it at this point Cause like, I'm just now really starting to get to the point where I can, recognize the characters, and compare, you know, comic book to TV series. I'm like just now getting to that point. So, like, it's very possible that that could have come up, but me being confused on who is who compared to one to the other, you know, probably like got in the way of that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Even I, like, thinking back, I don't remember ever seeing, like, overt instances of Carol's being beaten by her husband. Like, I never remember any of that. Like, I know, I think they had problems. I can't remember what they actually were, but I know that, I'm pretty sure she loved him. Like, it was actually like, it wasn't just like, he's fine, he's just a little bit aggressive. Yeah. Like, staying with him out of fear and actually just, like, actually loving him.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even in this comic book, because she, like, goes back into the room after she eyeball fucks the black dude, and says something to her husband. I don't remember exactly what, something about like, oh, I had these extra blankets I was going to give to, Dale and Andrea, but they're busy, basically, is how she puts it.
But I was like, they're going to be needing them.
But like, she says something along the lines of like, oh man, I don't, she says something along the lines of like, you know, I guess they're not so bad or something like that. And her husband kind of like in a joking way says something along the lines of like, you know, like, oh, starting to come around from not being a bitch, you know, or something, but like in a more not so asshole way and more of a joking way. And I don't know, just, Doesn't seem like a dude that fucking walks around beating the shit out of her. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they have the beating in the comic. They might just add that in there as a way to get rid of him sooner.
Maybe in the comic books he takes it out on waterfalls.
God, that comic would be some magnitude either better or worse, but somehow still better. Without having, like, Street Fighter characters in it. Can you imagine, like, Rick shooting fireballs?
I would rather a comic book of this magnitude with Street Fighter characters without their special moves. But they don't know that they don't have special moves.
It's like Ryu tries to throw a Hadouken, and it's like, oh, something's blocking my abilities.
Yeah.
tries to do the hurricane kick and just falls over.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Street Fighter versus zombies.
There we go. We got it.
Yeah, that's a new comic book and a new video game.
Yeah. I need to find someone who can build like plugins for WordPress to see if he can build this like random generator for versus.
I'm telling you, man, it'd be brilliant.
We can make a lot of money. Okay, so I guess that does Shax.
Yeah.
So, on to me, so you guys have your three of what I have of the list I sent you for the past 2 weeks. So Shax, what's the first thing you want me to talk about?
Venom 14.
Yes, so this is the end of the Circle of Four arc. We get to see more of the Red Hulk Venom Ghost Rider combo beating the shit out of Blackheart. Which is awesome, because I'm pretty sure at one point the Red Symbiote Rider, he punches Blackheart's head off. He like punches him so hard that the skin around his neck tears. You just see the muscle underneath.
Oh.
But yeah, so that's happening. X-23, a symbiote-less Flash Thompson and Alejandra, who is the current host of the Ghost Rider, they're going around trying to stop the Hell centrifuge and like get everyone to get back together so they can save. So they get them save the world and all that bullshit. But yeah, it's a pretty cool ending. Like they hint at the fact that these guys will probably come back later because Damon, son of Satan, when he shows up, he has like hell vision or something. And so you see the three characters like so. This is kind of spoilery, but at the end, so the good guys win. Spoilers. And then at the end, Captain America shows up and says, "Flash," says Corporal Thompson, "you are under arrest. We are taking the symbiote because like before this. Captain America came along and was trying to take the symbiote away from Flash because he thought it was too dangerous, even though Flash and the symbiote saved Captain America's life during the Spider Island arc.
Right.
Because during the Spider Island arc, Captain America was a giant spider.
I don't remember you mentioning this before when talking about this, that series.
Yeah.
Or that arc.
Yeah, it wasn't really a thing that I wanted that was like interesting, but like
Captain America as a spider is interesting.
I don't know. I don't think I brought it up because like I just didn't think about it, I guess. But yeah, so while Captain America was a spider, Flash with the symbiote saved him and turned him back into a person. And then helped him take down the evil giant psychic spider lady. Who's the queen, I guess. But yeah, so and immediately after that, Captain America comes along and says, I'm taking the symbiote, I don't trust it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be an American. You know, you saved my life, I'm going to kill you now.
I don't think it's about being American, but...
he was being an asshole.
Okay.
He was being Captain America.
That's fair.
He was being Captain American. Yeah, so...
Wait, what would Brickishaw General Canadian Bacon do? Whatever that character was that we made of.
Is that Lieutenant Canada?
Yes, Lieutenant Canada. Brickishaw Bratwurst. And
Brigadier General Bratwurst.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Canada, he would say, yeah, I have some issues with the symbiote, but hey, welcome aboard. Here's some donuts.
Well, no, really. No donut. I mean, donut's not a punch and pie.
It's like, here's some Timbits and a double-double. for all you Americans out there, that's a coffee with two cream and two sugar.
I had no idea. I figured those were donuts.
Nope, it's kind of coffee. Two cream, two sugar. Double-double. Or you might give them a triple-triple. Or you might give them a DP, I don't know.
Whoa.
But he has that symbiote.
Is that where him and General Bratwurst both get in there?
Yep. Get right up in that American ass.
DP stuff.
DPing across the world. Well, yeah, so he shows up, tries to get a symbiote, and then Flash manages to use his beat-the-fuck-up face and boyish charms to convince Captain America to let him keep the symbiote. And if the teaser for next issue is to be believed, Venom will be joining the Avengers. So there's that. So when that was happening, Damon looked at him, and on the chest of Red Hulk, X-23, and Venom, he just sees a flaming pentagram burning on their chest. So they are all linked together through a contract, through the deal they made with Mephisto to get out of hell. Yeah. And it's cool. I really want to see these guys together again, because that's a cool team. That is a really cool team.
Yeah, that's kind of why I picked this from your list, because I was actually pretty interested in it, and also the idea that about them all being mixed together last time.
Mm-hmm. The fucking huge Venom. Yeah, the Venom Hulk Ghost Rider thing was fucking awesome.
Yeah. I would actually dare say, I mean, like, I haven't seen Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, but they probably should have, instead of making a sequel, they probably could have just restarted the franchise with this. And it might have been a little bit better in some way.
Yeah, then you'd have Nicolas Cage not being on screen more than the Flaming Skeleton. Well, actually, you'd have them both on screen at the same time. You'd have Nicolas Cage not reacting.
You're talking about what Nicolas Cage already does in movies.
Yeah,
he doesn't react well, and it would be better if him being not on the screen as often.
Exactly. So having him as the Ghost Rider would mean that you would have more Flaming Skeleton and less Nicolas Cage. But by having Alejandra as the Ghost Rider, you would have just Nicolas Cage, and then next to him was a Flaming Skeleton.
Hmm. Well, we could get someone else to play Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that'd probably be best, because, like, the Ghost Rider in this thing, and, like, in the comics, he is just a Southern fried hick.
So it's not, Johnny Blaze?
No, that's Johnny Blaze, he's Southern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like a Southern stuntman from a circus, And he talks with, like, I'm pretty sure he says y'all a few times.
Hmm.
And he talks, and the dialogue that's written for him sounds like, every time I read it, I just think, you know, that sounds like some guy, that sounds like a trucker. Like some guy from the South.
Hmm.
I think all truckers are from the South.
You know, it's been a good many of years since I've seen a drawing of Johnny Blaze. But if I remember right, I think Guy Pearce could play a good Johnny Blaze.
He
just put long blonde hair on him.
I'm not entirely sure who that is, but like Johnny Blaze, he doesn't have long blonde hair. He has like short brown hair with mutton chops.
Really?
Really light brown hair. I'm pretty sure the blonde one was Danny Ketch.
Okay. Well, still, that's even better because Guy Pearce has dark hair. Guy Pearce was in Count of Monte Cristo. He had a small part at the beginning of...
Count of Monte Cristo?
Yeah.
It's Cristo.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He said Crisco.
I didn't say Crisco.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't say Count of Grease for cooking.
Bobby did Shaq say Crisco?
He said
or Crisco.
Cristo.
I heard Crisco.
Yeah, well, you're stupid.
I have diseases.
They are not excuses for being stupid.
Yeah, they are.
No, they are not.
Well, yeah, maybe not to you.
Oh, you're killing me. Oh. So, yeah, he was in that movie, and he had a small part at the beginning of The Hurt Locker. And, he was also in Memento as the lead character.
Oh, shit, that was Guy Pearce. Yeah, he could be good. Yeah. He could be a good Blaze.
Yeah, a lot better than Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah. Anyone would be better than Nick Cage.
I kind of wanted to get a cardboard cutout of Nicolas Cage just to say that I actually met the real Nick Cage.
Because you can't tell the difference.
So, yeah, exactly.
I met the real Nick Cage, and he was very and he emoted very well. You know, way more than I thought he would. Okay, so fuck, what was I talking about?
Venom 14.
Oh, right, yeah. So, with what Bowie was talking about earlier with, like Flash and the symbiote. There is a pretty good example of that happening in this. Like, so the symbiote gets onto the Hulk, and so the Hulk has the Ghost Rider demon and the symbiote in him. Then Alejandra shows up, and then Ghost Rider leaves him and goes back into her. And then as soon as Flash shows up, the symbiote just leaves Hulk and goes right back to Flash. Which kind of shows they have a bond.
I hate... Every time you say Flash, I think of The Flash.
Would you rather say Eugene?
No.
That's his real name.
Good God. I see
Eugene,
why he goes with...
Yes, Eugene Flash Thompson.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just every time I immediately go to The Flash.
Yeah, it's understandable. Okay, so well, Venom 14, it was a great arc. It was a great issue. It's a great arc. Like, it was a Circle of Four is a fantastic arc, and I highly recommend anyone who hasn't read it yet, read it.
And was it four or five comics?
Yeah, it was issues 13, 13.1, 13.2, 13.3, 13.4, and 14. So six.
Okay.
It is really great. The art is great. Really cool seeing all these characters working together, and I really hope they get to come back to these guys soon. Okay, so, Bovi, what was your first pick?
All right, let me just take a look here. Okay, I said Suicide Squad 7.
Okay, so with this, issue 6, I think with issue 5 and 6, Harley Quinn had abandoned the Suicide Squad to go look for the Joker because she found out that the Joker was dead. Because, yeah, the Joker's dead. Well, in Detective Comics and Suicide Squad anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then she had been hunting. So she came back to Gotham and was trying to get into the police station to get the Joker's face. Because his face was cut off. Because, yeah. Yeah, so the Suicide Squad is sent after him, and they have a couple new guys. They have Lime and Light, who are these two twins who can, like, who have light powers. And this other guy whose name escapes me, but he's essentially just. What if Deadshot was more of a dick?
Wow.
Deadshot's not a dick?
No, he is a dick.
He's just a professional dick. And that's not the professional dick you're thinking of. So they went out hunting after Harley Quinn. But in the meantime, Quinn, who had escaped them by using a army of cross-dressing dudes, who were all just like big burly dudes dressed up in her skirt. So after using all them, while she was using all them to distract the main Suicide Squad, she was off looking for answers about the Joker, and it was also having flashbacks of her as Dr. Harleen Quinzel and how she fell in love with the Joker. And that was really cool.
That sounds really interesting.
It is. It's like, this is one of those stories, like this is, that romance was one of the weirdest romances in comics for a while, and it's been really good. Like, it's a really interesting romance that's happening between Harley and the Joker, and it's really cool seeing it unfold in the New 52. And so you get like a first seat, you get like a front row seat to the entire thing, and it is, like, from beginning to end, it is really good. And it's, one of the best things is, like, just the Joker solo, just like the Joker doing a huge monologue about sanity. So you said, like, the Joker, like, when Harley goes in and, like, starts talking to him, he just starts, like, saying, so, hey, can I talk about this? And he just starts, like, going on for, like, three or four pages of just him talking about what it is to be sane. And, like, having control and all that stuff and, like, difference between him and other people. And it was fantastic. It was just really great to see the Joker just, like, sit down and then, like, well, actually, he was just moving around a lot for this. We just, like, hey, so here's some bullshit. And it was awesome. So, yeah, it turned... And also, so there's a kind of really weird kind of rape thing at the end of this. And I'm not sure if I should get into it or not. Because it might get into spoiler territory.
Probably not, then. I think what you've already said is probably enough.
Yeah, it is. Let's just say it involves the rope. It involves the Joker's face and some rope.
Ugh.
Yeah, so Suicide Squad 7. Well, Suicide Squad is still a great series. It is it's a really great series. It's one of the great New 52 series that I've really liked. Oh, and there's one more thing I want to talk about. So a few issues ago, Yo-Yo, who is the who was part of Suicide Squad, who was like, who could like change his shape and could like change his size and stuff, he was eaten by King Shark. Just the huge anthropomorphic shark just like ate him and then just swallowed him whole. And there's this one bit where like Shark is like holding a prisoner, is like, all right, so I'm going to interrogate you. And then he just like opens his mouth and then you just see Yo-Yo inside King Shark still alive. they're like, hey, I'm Yo-Yo, tell everyone out there I'm still alive. And then the shark just like clamps down his jaw on him and just kills the guy. And it's like, damn it, Shark, we needed to interrogate him. And so then Deadshot starts interrogating conjoined twins. So that's awesome.
How does, when you say he interrogates him, is he the guy that does stuff?
He just kind of stood on their chest, putting a gun at their heads and said, all right, which head's the smart one?
Oh, I guess.
And then a couple pages later, after you see Harley like going through the hospital and like monologuing to her former doctor friend, to her former boss before like cutting her up something nasty, he just goes back and just see like one of the heads is dead. You see like one of the halves of the body is dead, and the other one just like crying and like saying, "All right, she's here doing this. Oh God, please don't kill me." So yeah, Suicide Squad, it is fucking awesome. Okay, so Shax, second pick.
Night Force number one.
Yes, yeah, so this is a six issue. This is the first issue of a 6-issue miniseries that DC is releasing, and I have mixed feelings about it. Like it is kind of interesting. What it is there's this woman who's being drowned in this river when a cop shows up to save her. And then they go to a hospital, and she starts having like all these like weird flashbacks of like dudes wearing cow skulls doing some weird ritual around her.
Okay.
And she wakes up, and then she put them in a trailer, put them in a wheelchair. And then as the cop and her are leaving, they're all of a sudden in someone's mansion. Like, they go from a hospital to a mansion. And then while they're there, like, they're attacked by shadows. The guy who owns the place, who, like, teleported them there, his skin turns blue and he has a pet cheetah. And at some point, the FBI shows up looking for a serial killer that's dead in the guy's basement. So, it's a bizarre book, and it is kind of interesting. It's just, they seem to be setting up a lot of weird mystery shit going on, and I'm not sure if they'll be able to deliver on it all. Because there's this kind of end thing that says that it kind of like maybe ties in the cop with the girl in some weird way, but I'm not going to really say anything else about it because it's spoilers. But it's kind of bizarre, and you could do worse in this issue. Like I'm not like discouraging people from reading the series. If it does kind of sound interesting, I suggest you go read and determine for yourself. But for me, I'm kind of lukewarm about the whole thing, and I'll have to wait till the next issue to see if I'm actually psyched about the series.
Right. It sounds Venom's more interesting.
Oh yeah, Venom's way more interesting. Okay, so Bovi, you're second.
Okay. Red Lantern 7.
Yes, so over the past few issues, there have been two main things going on in the Red Lantern series. The first one, we have a human Red Lantern now. And a new human Red Lantern, like not like Guy Gardner got the ring again. It's just some dude who was really pissed off got a ring. And the second thing is Bleeze, who is the chick with the bone wings, she has been leading a coup against Atrocitus. Because you see, Atrocitus, what he did was he threw her into this lake of blood or lava or something, which caused her to like regain some of her intelligence. Because up to that point, Atrocitus had been the only one who had been, like, eloquent and, like, intelligent and stuff. But then he threw Bleeze in there, and now she's able to, like, form full sentences aside from, Bleeze, kill. Yeah, so then she did that to the entire Corps. And now she's, like, leading a revolt against Atrocitus and everything else. Yeah, so that's kind of cool, and There's also kind of a third thing of Atrocitus looking for Krona's body, who is the evil Red Lantern who wiped out his entire sector and he kept her corpse as like a trophy. But her corpse disappeared mysteriously.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so in this issue, the new Red Lantern, whose name escapes me, he fights off against Guy Gardner. Because, yeah, I guess. Someone's got to fight against that douchebag, bowl-cut redhead.
Fucking Guy Gardner.
Fucking hate Guy Gardner.
The only one I like is Kyle Rayner.
Kyle's awesome.
Did you forget there's Hal Jordan? The greatest Green Lantern?
Yeah, Hal Jordan's alright. It's just, with the art, he can get kind of creepy looking.
Yeah, I can't read his series, so.
Yeah, without seeing that face.
No, I can't read, I just, Jordan. I know it's in there somewhere, so I can't read it.
It hasn't popped up again, actually. It's just like, but I do share your preview about it, because like I'm just expecting like to start the next page and just have it staring at me. Just like an entire panel of just him, just like, hey guys, you want some rings? That face was fucking terrifying.
I mean, the only way you could be creepier is if you made John Waters a Green Lantern.
Oh, God.
John Waters, the movie director?
Just imagine Hal Jordan with a John Waters mustache.
Oh.
Yeah, that was terrifying. But yeah, so Red Lanterns, it's good still. I'm interested in seeing this entire conflict between Atrocitus and Bleeze unfold. Because, you know, Atrocitus, he's like the first Red Lantern. He is like the arbiter of the entire Red Lantern Corps. So it's gonna be kind of cool seeing how Bleeze, who until recently was just a blithering idiot, a pissed off blithering idiot, but a blithering idiot nonetheless, fare off against her master and creator.
Mm.
So yeah, Red Lantern 7. So, Shax, your third pick.
Wolverine and the X-Men 7.
Yeah, so this is following the issue. This is following the issue that had the very, very Japanese cover with the so many dudes inside of Ninja Kitty.
Oh.
So yeah, we get.
Hold on. Did she ever say anything? Or did she even know about that whole conversation?
Show her. Give me your phone number. Give me the phone number. I'll text her the link.
I think at this point, if she doesn't know, it's because Bulby doesn't want her to.
Oh, God. You just imagine her going, it's like, just imagine her on one, like, commentary because she hasn't been on one in a while. Just coming on, it's like, what the fuck is this shit? You're an asshole. Your face is an asshole. Okay, so in the last issue, I think, we figured out, like, why Kitty was infected with horrible, horrible alienness. And it was an anthropologist. Well, I think it was either an anthropologist or a zoologist. Yeah, space zoologist, an extreme scientist. Who came down to Earth to kill Brew, who is there. So, Brew is part of this race called the Brood. Who, most of them are just these, like, horrible, mindless, slobbering, savage things. And I'm pretty sure they quote-unquote killed the Human Torch.
I'm sorry, but when you say that they're called the Brew, I just think...
No, they're called the Brood.
Oh, the Brood.
Yeah.
But but even when you said Brew and Brood, I couldn't help but think that they must be an alien race of douchebags with popped collars. Hey, Brew.
Yeah, just... Yeah, Darth Broovy's a part of them.
We're here to take over your planet, Brew.
No, they don't even talk. They just, like, scream. They're just like,
that is still more intelligible than a bro.
Hold on. So, Darth Broovy is in charge of bro troopers. And then there's the machines that they use to walk on all four legs that are the Bruce.
No, man, they're called the Coronas, bro.
Yeah. Okay, so... Yes, the scientist, he'd come down to Earth because Brew was an intelligent brood. He had, like, you know, he wore glasses, he read books, he talked, he didn't actually kill anything. And so he came down here to kill Brew because Brew was an offshoot of the brood. Like he was the exception to the rule. He was like that. So if you're a scientist and you've done any scientific experiments, then you, like biology stuff, then you know that not everything goes in the same way. Like evolution happens and there are mutations and shit happening, which is kind of the entire point of the X-Men. You know, mutations and shit. So Bruce's mutation, and instead of leaving the mutation in to see if his traits would be passed on to further generations, or to see if it was a one-time mutation, or if it's just just the next step for that race. He just comes down and says, "You know what? I'm going to kill you, so my theories aren't wrong." Scientist.
That's one way to do it, I guess.
Bad scientist. That's not how you prove your theories.
Yeah, and so that happened in the last issue. Now, this issue is just Kitty and the Bamfs, who are essentially just mini Nightcrawlers, they're all trying to keep Brew alive. Meanwhile, on the other side of the galaxy, Wolverine and Quentin Quire, Kid Omega, they are trying to raise space money for the school.
Space money?
Yes.
Space money. Yes.
They need money so they go to the most dangerous casino in the galaxy and then start ripping off. And while they're... Yeah, space bucks. Get some zennies. And while they're there, Quentin learns how to make a telepathic shotgun. Because, yeah, I guess. Yeah, he's essentially evolving his powers to become a less sexy Psylocke.
Huh.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's that. So it's cool. Like, they've just finished up this stupid bullshit arc of, and it's going to be kind of interested in seeing how they go with like Brew now, because Brew did some pretty Brew did something kind of nasty near the end of it. And when it showed him, he was kind of like cowering in a corner, like afraid of everything, afraid of himself. So it's going to be weeks. It's going to be kind of interesting seeing how he is involved in all that. Because there's this one girl at the school who says that, who like thinks that everyone at the school is a monster. They're all like horrible, evil, Satan spawn. And she kind of wants to die. So it's going to be cool. So it's going to be interesting seeing if they have any relationship, see if they have any relationship, any kind developed between Brew and Idy, who is the aforementioned Satan Thumper. Ugh. But yeah. They're going to be having a new arc soon, so I'm guessing next issue they're going to be having a new arc, so I'm interested in seeing where they go from here. So, Bobby, your third pick.
The third pick is Super Crooks 1.
Yes, so this is a new series from Mark Millar. And so you know it's good. So it starts out with this guy, I can't remember his name, I think it's Johnny something. But yeah, so Johnny and his crew just knock over a bank, and then a superhero comes along and beats the shit out of them. You know, like always. And so he goes to prison for 5 years, and then after he gets out, there's this guy, like a retired superhero called the Heat, who is like working over a casino with the help of this other guy who is a psychic. Can like see 30 seconds into the future, because that's helpful. And so someone finds out that, so the guys who run the casino find out that the Heat and this kid are given for a ride. And he says that he says the old man needs to bring him $100 million in 1 month or he will kill him. So he goes back to Johnny and his former girlfriend who's psychic, and they formulate a plan. Johnny formulates a plan to go to a country where there aren't superheroes, commit crimes, then come back to the States.
You know, that kind of ingenious. Like one of the best ideas from any comic book criminal ever.
You know, like there's this whole speech of like why do we keep, he just starts out like, why do we keep coming back to the same places? Like, we always try to rob the same banks, we try to like knock over the same people, and we always get destroyed by these superheroes. So why don't we go somewhere without superheroes? Like Spain. Have you ever heard of Captain Spain? I don't think so. And he actually does say, have you ever heard of Captain Spain?
Well, you ever heard of a Lieutenant Canada? Let's go there.
It's like, you ever heard of a Lieutenant Canada? No, but I have heard of a Lieutenant Canada. But yeah, so it's kind of, this is really good. It's Mark Millar, dude. He's fucking awesome. And he continues being awesome in this series. It is a good idea. Like, it is nice to have a supervillain who is not a genius, but he is smart.
Yeah. No genius required, just some common fucking sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's getting his old team back together. We're going to be introducing some more characters instead of just this guy with a ray gun, this guy with lightning powers, and this chick who's a psychic. We're going to be getting a bunch more guys, and it's going to have this whole huge, super, super evil, like, super villain Ocean's 11 team, I'm guessing. Only instead of, like, having, like, some insane plan, just going to be, I'm going to go in here and blow everything up and take the money and walk away. But it's going to be, like, seven dudes doing it, so it's going to be, like, I'm going to shoot lightning over here, fire over here, I'm gonna shoot super jizz over here.
For a second, I thought you were having a Freudian slip when saying jizz.
Nope, I meant to say jizz. Yeah, because really, what would I have slipped with?
I don't know, but I was going to call you out on it.
This isn't like the cockeye debacle. It's just me actually saying, this guy, his power is super jizz. He just like hip thrusts in one direction, and then just like a stream of jizz comes out and destroys walls. Makes everything really sticky and awkward. So, yeah, Super Crooks. It is Mark fucking Millar, and it is also drawn by the guy who is also drawn, I forget his name, but he did the art for Secret Invasion. So that's awesome. Okay, so that does it for their choices, but there or two more that I'll talk about because they were awesome. So the first up is the Manhattan Projects. That's projects with an S.
More than one.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what the Manhattan Project was, it was this whole, it was the, essentially the creation of the atomic bomb.
Well, so, the Manhattan Project was also a movie.
Yeah, it was. But I'm talking about like the actual Manhattan Project. This is what, that's what this is based on.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, so, and Jay, and like, I think it's like J. Robert Oppenheimer, that's his name? Like the I Am Become Death? He is the main character.
Nice.
But it's set in an alternate past where the Manhattan Project is like not only creating atom bombs, it's like creating doorways to other dimensions and like creating, like, creating like invincible guides and like bullets that can shoot through buildings and shit. And then while this is all happening, a giant Chinese archway just falls out of the sky, and then a bunch of robot cyborgs come through. And then Oppenheimer gets on a minigun and starts mowing them down. Because yeah, it's Japan. Japan has fucking magical portals and robot cyborg and robot samurai. And so while this is all happening, there's a flashback thing that's going on with showing how Oppenheimer had a twin brother. And it's like Oppenheimer's doing this, this, and this, but his brother's doing this, this, and this. Yeah, it's like Oppenheimer goes off to college, he does all this, he does all that. But then his brother is like staying at home and he kills small animals, and then he beats up kids, and then he like starts cutting people. Essentially just saying that his brother, essentially showing that like Oppenheimer went on to success while his brother became a fucking psychopath. And what that eventually leads to is, oh, it's so good, and it's so fucking awesome, and I love Jonathan Hickman. He's the writer of this, he's a writer of a whole bunch of other shit with like the new 50 sheet, with like the Ultimate Marvel Universe Reborn, and he's done a bunch of other stuff, and he is awesome. Yeah, so, Manhattan Projects, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And then I also have Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, issue 8. I will say one thing. Aunt May and Gwen Stacy are coming back to America. And that is fucking awesome to me. So at the end of the whole Death of Spider-Man thing, during Ultimate Fallout, Gwen Stacy and Aunt May, they took up an offer from Tony Stark and they moved to France. Because they didn't want to be in New York anymore because it reminded them too much of Peter. So then they're in France, they see a newspaper, there's a new Spider-Man, we're going back to New York. I'm just like, oh, yes.
And then Gwen Stacy's going to become Spider-Man.
We already have a Spider-Man.
No, she's going to become Spider-Woman.
But she's become Ms. Marvel.
No. Black Cat.
There's already a Black Cat and there's already Spider-Woman.
White Cat.
There's already a White Cat.
Chitara.
There's already Chitara. But no,
William Dafoe.
No, but like on the cover of Ultimate Fallout 1, when it showed Gwen Stacy, she was wearing a sweater with the like Ms. Marvel symbol on it.
Tyler Perry.
I like the idea that she's going to become Willem Dafoe.
God. I just brought that scene from the Boondock Saints back in my head. God, that was disgusting. But so Gwen Stacy and Aunt May are coming back to New York. It's going to be awesome. They're going to train the new Spider-Man, maybe, or try to kill him. Because Aunt May is not afraid of just dusting fools. We can fucking shot Electro.
Okay.
No, Ultimate Aunt May is awesome. Like, she essentially made her own superhero team in her own house.
So wait, this is not Ultimate Spider-Man, this is Ultimate Comics Spider-Man.
Yes. This is what happens after the Ultimate Fallout.
Alright.
It's with the new Black Spider-Man.
Okay.
And it is called, and it's called Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. But yeah, so Spider-Man is still awesome. And I guess it's going to do it for what we've read. Now, on to some news. So, this first bit of news, while it is not entirely comic-based, it does have some basis in comics, so shut up. So, Michael Bay.
Stop now.
This is something that needs to be for the movies podcast, but...
No, this is about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I know. Continue.
Which started out as a comic book, so shut up. And it's on Comic Vine, so shut up.
You can stop now. Michael Bay. Enough said.
So,
yeah, Michael, you say that, and we all know the story. We all know.
So Michael Bay is producing the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. And he's made some controversial moves.
Fuck you, Michael Bay.
Such as making the turtles aliens.
Fuck you, Michael Bay.
Has he officially said that they're aliens, or is it just still the speculation that the fact that he said aliens
he's officially said the turtles are aliens.
Oh, okay.
And he's also calling the movie Ninja Turtles.
No, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is why they're not aliens. They are turtles that mutated into standing up things that became teenagers and trained to be ninjas. They are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Not fucking alien turtles.
So people have been understandably outraged by this. People even started a Facebook group called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Are Not Goddamn Aliens.
I'm on that page, bro. I'm too sick to share Bovey's enthusiasm of hatred, but I'm right there with him, though.
Yeah, so Michael Bay has heard this, and he decided to make a post on the Shoot for the Edit forums. He said, "Fans need to take a breath and chill. They have not read the script. Our team is working closely with one of the original creators of Ninja Turtles to help expand and give a more complex backstory. Relax. We are including everything that made you become fans in the first place. We are just building a richer world. For starters, fuck you. You are not making it. You're not putting in everything that made us fans. What made us fans is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, not fucking alien Ninja Turtles."
Yeah, I was a fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, not this shit. Fuck you, Michael Bay. You cannot tell us...
Yes. Like, this is not, like, the Ninja Turtles were not biker mice from Mars, okay?
Yeah, and you know what? Stop telling us to chill. Just, you know, how about you stop masturbating to explosions and, learn how to make a fucking movie right?
Yeah, that's another fucking thing. Like, how is he gonna be doing this? Cause, like, ninjas, not exactly known for explosions. Because I have not really seen the Turtles use any explosives. I've seen them use... I've seen them essentially use sticks and swords.
Well, he's only producing this, I believe.
Yes, but it's still being put out by Platinum Dunes, which is his company. So it's people. Right. So it's people who were selected by him to make this movie.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, he's been the producer of other movies that haven't had explosives.
Yes, but all the movies have been shit too.
I'm just saying that. Yeah. It's possible for him to produce a movie without explosions.
People need to stop optioning the movie rights of things from our childhood to Michael Bay.
Yeah. And so I actually looked at the forum for this. I actually saw all the posts on here. And there are apparently people who like his movies.
What?
I like a couple of his movies.
You know what's the crazy thing I heard? You may remember a little while ago I made my post about... the SciShow Worst Movie Science of 2011 Award.
Mm-hmm.
There were people on there saying that they liked Dark of the Moon. In the video comments, they were like, "The science is bad, but I still like the movie." I'm like, why do you like that movie? What's good about it? Other than Optimus Prime, but if I just cut together the Optimus Prime parts, then you know. Anyways, I'm more on a movie tangent now.
So back on comics.
Yeah.
Three comic book creators have actually come out and said stuff about Michael Bay getting his hands on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and turning them into aliens. The first one, Cal Higgins, who writes Nightwing, said, "I respect Michael Bay's ability to get the same-looking movie made over and over. How does he do it? But this Turtles move goes too far." Robert Guillory, who is the artist for Chew, says, "Michael Bay is like the ravishing Rick Rude of film. All you fat, hairy fanboys, take a look at what a real man's about to do to your TMNT." And Gail Simone, the writer of Batgirl, says, "If Michael Bay made an Easy Bake Oven movie, it would be about Jell-O."
I I gotta love the Ravishing Rick Rude comment. But just because it's Ravishing Rick Rude.
You know what? This is totally gonna bite over the ass, because how many people are actually gonna go see this movie? Kids. That's
everyone.
It. Fucking kids. I'm not gonna go see this fucking movie. I'll be standing outside of the movie theater with a sign that says, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are not fucking aliens.
I guarantee you this movie's gonna make $425 million.
Yeah, probably. Because
that's
fucking
the shitty part. People are gonna go see it. Why the fuck are people gonna go see it? It's
because of kids, like you said.
It's a piece of shit. You know what? And it's Michael Bay. It's not even gonna be good for kids.
And people like us will probably go see it just so we can know what raging about.
No, I will wait until it comes out, and I'm not scared to say this. I will download it illegally.
I will find someone else to pay for me to go see this movie.
See,
waste their money, not mine.
Then somebody's paying for it. That's still a waste of money.
Yeah, but it ain't my money.
It doesn't matter. It's still a crime against humanity to spend yours or somebody else's money on this movie.
Yeah, I mean, if you're spending money on this movie, whether it's yours or someone else's, that money's still going into the pockets of these people that are making these shitty movies.
Yeah.
Thus making them more money to make more shitty movies.
And you know what? You are just giving Michael Bay more power to take more things from your childhood and rape them.
Yeah, so here's another quote from Michael Bay. When you see this movie, kids are going to believe one day that these turtles actually do exist when we are done with this movie. These turtles are from an alien race, and they are going to be tough, edgy, funny, and completely lovable. So when I found about this, I tweeted something. I said Michael Bay needed to be beaten to death with an M16 wrapped in the American flag.
Why wrapped in the American flag?
Because if you're going to beat him to death with something, it should be with America.
Okay, I guess.
That's kind of always the thing. Like in every single Michael Bay movie, at one point or another, there's a slow motion flapping American flag. And there's also the fact that pretty much every movie is essentially him jerking off to how much he loves the American military. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this movie had more to do with the military than it had to do with the turtles.
That'd be interesting.
Not really. Because you'd be going, it's like, oh boy. It's like, oh boy, a Ninja Turtles movie. Go in there. 5 minutes of turtles and then two and a half hours.
No,
of military.
Yeah. I don't mean it'll be interesting that way, but it'd be... interesting that you say that.
Yeah, so looking at the post on Colin Klein, which is where I'm reading this from, the guy who wrote the post made three kind of interesting points. The first, well, obviously they're not mutants anymore, but they won't be teenagers, because really, is there any kind of, like, since they'll be aliens, will there be any kind of, like, concrete age range for aliens about what's a teenager or not?
Well, I mean, aliens do have to have some kind of age range,
yes,
whatever it may be.
It's the same as ours.
True. That seems so technical, because even if it's not like ours, what if it is, they live to be 1,000 years old, and so they're all 250 years old or something, so maybe in their time, they're teenagers. Yeah. I guess there's always some kind of loophole.
Okay, so another thing, they probably won't be ninjas, because ninjas means you are a master of ninjutsu. And what are the odds that alien races will have ninjutsu?
Well, they're not... That's never... I don't think that's been implied that they're going to come to Earth and automatically know ninjutsu.
Well, it's being implied because the movie's called Ninja Turtles.
No, they could come here, learn it, and then thus become...
just come here and just pick it up.
Maybe.
And third thing... They won't be turtles. They'll be aliens.
Yeah. That's the big thing.
Yeah, they're aliens.
Yes.
You should call it...
Ninja aliens?
Not even ninja aliens. Aliens that fight things.
Non-teenage, not mutant ninja aliens.
Aliens versus villains from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Aged alien fighting terrapin-like creatures.
So what are they going to do with Splinter and Shredder? Have they talked about that yet?
No, they haven't. They just said, hey, the turtles aren't turtles.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just fuck.
Yep.
Good lord. Okay, moving on to something that may or may not lighten your mood after that horribleness.
Nothing can be worse than that, but okay.
So, IDW is going to start publishing Judge Dredd in America.
Oh, it just got worse. Imagine that. Congratulations.
Yeah, so, Judge Dredd has been a ongoing thing in the British sci-fi anthology series, 2000 AD. But now IDW has picked it up and is going to start releasing all those 2000 AD stories throughout America.
You know what, whatever that is, I can just ignore it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, or the not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, is going to be thrown in my face all the time. So I say that is marginally better. I don't know. I can't really judge. I don't know Judge Dredd well, so I can't say if it's horrible.
Yeah, the only thing I know from Judge Dredd is the awful
Sylvester Stallone movie.
Yeah.
I look at some like art from the comic books, like some still shots from it, and it looks actually kind of cool.
It was a comic book before a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, that movie was based on the comic.
Right.
From 2000 AD.
Yeah, so for all I know, the comic book was kick-ass even before that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, this thing has been around since 1977, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So yeah, either it'll be good or I can ignore it.
Yeah, so Chris Ryle, who is IDW's chief creative officer and editor-in-chief, said, "My interest in Judge Dredd far predates my tenure at IDW, so it's a real drunken pleasure for us to now be the first American publisher in 18 years to create new tales for Dredd." So yeah. I have no idea what drunken means. I'm guessing it's a reference.
I would assume so.
Or an alien curse word.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's aliens in Judge Dredd.
No, it's just maybe. It's just future with like cover shit. There might be aliens, that's all I know.
But that doesn't stop the publisher from using alien curse words.
Okay, that's fair.
In a post about it. I know, you're against aliens, I get it. When they're used wrong, I'm against them too. But don't get a whole prejudice complex going here.
Okay, actually, just look at this post. It's kind of cool because apparently, in like the original runs of the stuff, Grant Morrison, Mark Millar, and Alan Moore have written Judge Dredd stories. So, I fucking love Grant Morrison and Alan Moore and Mark Millar. So.
Hold on, I gotta go back a quick second. I feel like Bovey's anger for the Ninja Turtles thing is leaking into the rest of the news.
Yeah. Okay. So, Bobby, would you like to rant some more?
No, I'm good.
No, it is good. This is, it's usually me that's ranting.
Yeah. Okay. So, moving on. So, WonderCon happened recently. And coming out of that news, Ms. Marvel is going to become the new Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we're getting a chick, Captain Marvel?
Yep.
So there's no chance of the whole gay disco ball dancing the hustle Captain Marvel-us that I was hoping for.
No. Well, for all you know, she could be into some disco dancing.
Yeah, but it was so much cooler with the idea of him and he was gay and disco balls and
she could be gay.
Yeah, so
yeah, she could be, but then she's a lesbian and lesbians are just they're never as happy as gay men.
Well, so this is a new ongoing series which is going to be written by Kelly Sue DeConnick. Let me pull up a page on Comic Vine because I've never heard of her. Or the artist Dexter Soy. But she worked showcase. She wrote Osborne. She wrote 30 Days a Night, Evan and Stella. And she wrote some other stuff, which she's a pretty good writer. So it could be
Good.
So Will DeConnick said this after it was released, after the announcement was made. It's like, my pitch was called Pilot, and the take can be pretty much summed up with Carol Danvers as Chuck Yeager. Carol's the virtual definition of a type A personality. She's a competitor and a troll freak. At the start of our series, we see Carol pre-Captain Marvel, pre-NASA even, back when she was a fiercely competitive pilot. We'll see her meeting one of her aviation heroes, and we'll see her youthful bravado, her swagger. Then over the course of the first arc, we're going to watch her find her way back to that hungry place. She'll have to figure out how to be both Captain Marvel and Chuck Yeager. To marry the responsibility of that legacy with the sheer joy of being nearly invulnerable and flying really fucking fast.
Who's Chuck Yeager?
I have no idea. Let me look it up.
Okay, so that's not the... I guess I'm like confused now because... So, okay, if so. She's going to be Captain Marvel, then... Is she gonna, did she already have a human identity?
Yeah, well, she was human.
But she was a superhero too, I mean, did...
Yeah, but you can be a superhero and be human.
No, okay, well, no, I'm not explaining this good enough. Because we talked about Captain Marvel, he had a human identity of a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah, but this is an entirely different Captain Marvel. You see, the thing we were talking about, the one with the 16-year-old boy identity, that was the DC Captain Marvel.
The one who's now Shazam.
Yes.
Oh.
The Marvel Captain Marvel is an alien.
God damn it. Yeah, see, okay, part of me's happy now because there is still a chance at a gay disco balls tussle dancing Captain Marvel.
That was why you suggested that, because of changing his name to Shazam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, final piece of news. Marvel is teasing the return of Extreme X-Men, which I'm guessing is something from the 90s that was trying to sell itself by claiming to be extreme.
It's extreme, bro.
Yeah, and it's spelled X-T-R-E-M-E.
Of course.
So you know it's awesome and
who has room radical. For an E, bro?
Well, they have two. Just poked a hole in your theory. Okay, so yeah, we're getting a series back from the 90s this July. So that's a thing. Yeah. Okay, I guess it's going to do it.
Apparently some of us are still in the 90s, Brovy.
God damn it, Brovy.
Brovy, you got to let him talk to you like that.
No, bro, I'll kick his ass later.
Probably will, because he's a nerd and you're a jock.
Yeah, but nerds are smarter.
Yeah, while Bovey's busy on the calculator, Brovey's already dunking his head in the toilet.
Yeah, and then Brovey tries to punch him, and Bovey holds up a toaster. And then his hand goes inside the toaster and he electrocutes himself to death. Because we have wide toasters here in Canada. We have very thick bread.
You're not going to electrocute me, are you, bro? We'll see.
This is getting good. This is the first time we had a conversation together.
Yeah, no, we're expanding the character. Okay, so yeah, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the DestroProds.com comic book podcast, I guess. Be sure to come back tomorrow when myself, Bovey, and Punchatron will be talking about some animes and mangas. And be sure to come back on Friday when Shax, hopefully, will be feeling better, and we'll be able to talk about some movies with myself, Bovey, and Toybox.
Yep.
Until then, though, I'm dead.
I'm Bobby-Wan.
I'm Shax, and I had a kick-ass ending and forgot it.
We'll see you guys next time.